Like to talk about the operator's manual today. Look that up, and sometimes you'll get some similar titles like owner's manual, instruction manual, user guide, all of those type of things. Just curious this morning, how many of us have bought a component of some sort, a device? How many of you, in taking it out of the box, and you come across maybe the operator's manual, the owner's manual, the instruction manual, user's guide, how many of you go over and sit down and look through it and read it? How many of you, when you get that little cabinet or little book, bookcase or something like that, and it's supposed to be 4 foot wide and maybe 5 foot tall and 12 inches deep, and you take it home in a box about the size of it's a little bitty box, and you take it out and you're supposed to put it together. How many of you stop and read the instructions? I would venture to say that many of us are pretty adept at just using things. And we just figure it out. Well, it's got a place to put a key in, so we put the key in and we twist the key and wow, what do you know, it's running, and now we figure out how to make it move. And then the next thing we want to try to do is whatever it is, turn the mower on or the blinkers or, you know, we just kind of learn on the roll many times. And I'm as guilty as anyone else of thinking that I ought to know how this thing is supposed to work. We just depend on our intuition and our just natural knack or whatever it is to figure things out on the move. And a lot of times it would be better if we would take some time and read the owner's manual. I don't care how capable we are, how talented we are, adept we are at figuring things out. Many times if we would stop and just read the book a little bit, sometimes, you know, you'll get things that's got this little tiny CD in it. You ever seen one of those? Maybe that's kind of archaic now, but there's been times you get this little tiny CD and you can maybe put it in your laptop or whatever and turn it on and listen to, and it'll even tell you. You don't have to read it. But we probably forget, what is this? You know, just toss it to the side, and we plug it in and turn it on, and what do you know? We should have pulled the plastic off before it heated up. You know, do we just... I remember one time, sometimes we were really surprised at what we find in that book. I remember one time years ago, I'd worked on a man's vehicle. Don't remember what it was for, but it was one of those that to tilt the steering wheel, you push the turn signal lever forward towards the dash. You know, you lift it up to turn right, pull down to turn left. And then if you wanted to tilt the steering wheel, it was the same lever, but you just pushed it forward and it released it where you could tilt it up and down. Well, it was one of those. And I had moved the steering wheel. I don't know what for, but I'd done it and worked on it. So the customer come to pick up the vehicle, and they came back in and they said, someone broke my steering wheel. And so I went out there. I thought maybe something was really broke. And I went out there and they said, it's not in the same place as it used to be. Yeah, I don't remember up or down. And I just reached in and pushed that lever down and showed them how the steering wheel would tilt up and down. And I don't know how many miles they drove the vehicle, but they had no idea they had a tilt steering column in the vehicle. You know, many times we can find out some pretty amazing things about how the things that we already have, the functions they will do. You know, my wife has an oven that she really likes, and she can tell it when to come on and when to go off, and just all kinds of things. And she likes it. I don't know anything about it. It's confusing to me. It's got buttons all up here on the front, and I don't know which set of buttons control which oven. It's two of them, and that makes it worse for me. I've got to study the little map up there or the little touchpad to figure out how to turn the light off and on in the thing. And we have microwaves and all these things with buttons. I remember microwaves when you close the door and you turn the timer, the dial that went click, 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 click over to however long you wanted it in, and then maybe push the start button. It's not that way anymore. You know, you've got to type it in or push and hold a button or all the, and you know, if you would stop and read, I'm sure there's things our microwave would do that would be amazing if we just would read the book. Okay. A lot of times when we have complicated things, instead of reading the book, we want to go back to the place we bought it and ask them, how do I do this? How do you make it do? I almost went back where I got my cell phone recently because I couldn't figure out how to make my Google Maps work. But I don't know what I've done to it. I didn't read the book, all right? I don't know what I've done to it, but it started working. And I don't want anybody to mess with it. All right? I've stumbled around and got it turned back on again, or it's updated itself or something. I'm not real sure. But I'm just trying for us to get a handle here of there's a reason that the devices that we have come with operator's manuals. There's a reason they come with instruction books. Because it's more than just a simple tool. It's many times we have things that's very complicated. But over the years, many times there's been people come in, why won't this do this? Or why my speed control shuts off going up a hill. You know, the first time I had that, I thought, maybe something's broke. But you know, it says in the owner's manual, if you're going up an incline after a certain percentage grade, the cruise control or speed control shuts off. That's a safety feature. It's in there. If you would just have read the book, you would know. It's not supposed to go wide open throttle up a hill. You know, if you're going up Pike's Peak, don't set the cruise control. It won't stay on. It'll shut off. So I'm thinking about this morning more than your microwave and your cell phone, and I'm thinking more than how, you know, safety features on lawnmowers are good things. And I have not had safety features on my lawnmowers. I mean, you know, you turn the key, and if you start it in gear, you just hang on. I mean, that's kind of the way I've had lawnmowers in the past. But I've got one now that all that stuff works. And you know, if you don't have everything in the right position, it won't even start. And if you decide to get up and you don't have the parking brake set, it'll die. It's supposed to do all of that. And it's a good thing because, you know, lawnmowers can hurt people. Those blades will cut your foot off. And there's a reason. I mean, yesterday, my wife was going to help me cut the grass, and we went through the routine. I don't have an owner's manual, all right? I ought to get one. But I don't have one, and she was, I went through the little routine showing her how to start the lawnmower, and she come out there to get me because I was already mowing. She says, it won't start. I was thinking, oh boy, what's broke now? We get over there, and one of the levers just wasn't all the way in the neutral position, and it wouldn't let it start. You know, it's a good thing, because if it had got started and maybe she bumped the lever, it might have thrown her off of there. So all of these are good things, and we have to understand how it's supposed to work. Many times the things we think is a problem is not a problem. It's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm thinking this morning, beyond our lawnmowers and our microwaves and all of that, I'm thinking about the operator's manual that we have for life. And I think about our church services sometime, and we come here, and it's more than just the preacher or the teacher in the class telling us what's in the book. You know, my wife come and got me because we don't have a book, but you'll have to ask her after service if she would have read the book. You know, I'm just going to jump to a conclusion. I don't think she would have. If I'd had an owner's manual, I don't think she'd have read it. I think she would have cut and got me anyway, because that would have been easier. You know, sometimes instead of reading the book, we just expect somebody to tell us. And many times we ask questions, and whoever the person is that God asks, many times they want to say, have you read the book? Have you read anything in the book? So let's look at Romans, the 10th chapter, and notice a verse here. I want to just kind of help us see the picture of the operator's manual for life. Here in Romans 10, in verse 14, it says, how then, and also, let me preface this by going back and reading verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul here is writing to people, particularly those that are of Jewish descent, that they might be saved, that they might be won by the love of Christ, and that they might be in fellowship with Christ and be able to experience what it's like to be in fellowship with God. So he said, this is my desire for you. This is what I really want for you. And he says then in the 14th verse, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So we think that for us to be in contact with God and know what God wants out of us, we've got to have a preacher. Well, there's a function for that. There's a place for that. I think it's a very valuable and important component in us getting an understanding of what God has in mind for us. Very legitimate. Paul says here, how are they going to hear? How shall they understand if there's not somebody that's willing to tell them? But that's not the whole picture, all right? Let's turn to Acts, the 17th chapter, and notice a couple verses here. Acts 17 and verse 10, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now why would they go in the synagogue? To preach the gospel message. And they had come here because the place they had just been did not accept their preaching. They wouldn't hear what they had to say. You know, in my experience of working on automobiles, there's been people that have come in and asked, what am I supposed to do with this? Or how is this supposed to work? And I can tell them, well, you're really not supposed to do this with this vehicle. And they don't listen. They go and do it anyway. And sure enough, it breaks again. Well, Paul had been in a situation here where the folks he was trying to preach to wouldn't accept it, and they kind of left under duress. I'll just put it that way. And they came to this other location. It says, and the brethren immediately sent them away, Paul and Silas by night, into Berea, who came coming hither thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So they went there to share the gospel message. They're going to probably say some of the same things that they said in the last place they was in. So he says here, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So it lets us know that in Thessalonica they didn't accept them. And they didn't listen to what the preacher had to say. Paul said there in Romans, how are they going to be able to hear except there's a preacher? And here, he's talking about some that wouldn't hear. And now he's in Berea, says they're more noble in that they receive the word with a readiness of mind. That's important for us to understand what God's intent for us is to have an openness to be willing to accept what the preacher says. And then it says, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So there's another component here besides just listening to the preacher. They searched the scriptures. They validated and verified that what the preacher was saying, it really is that way. You know, it's one thing to hear something. It's another thing to read it and then put those together, and then we become convinced, don't we? So it's important for us. And I was I was meditating on this on the way to service this morning. And you know, we today, whatever the preacher says, you can pull up your cell phone and type in the verse and you can read it. Well, yep, that's really what it said. And then you can go over to another translation maybe half a dozen commentators, and before you get to the house, you can either be convinced or be skeptical. What did it mean in the time of this scripture? What did it mean for them to search the scriptures daily? How many of these people had the Bible in their home? How many of them had the books of Moses at their disposal? How many of them had the books of the prophets at their disposal in their own house? You ever thought about that? Probably not any of them. You know what they had to do to search the scriptures? They had to go down to the synagogue. They had to get in line, maybe, to read. And maybe they couldn't read. You ever thought of that? How many of us here can't read? Evelyn, can you read? All right. You're probably the only one here besides Luke that can't read this morning. But you're going to. It's not going to be long and Evelyn will be able to read. But all the rest of us can read. But there were people here that couldn't read. How did they search the scriptures? Probably went into the synagogue and said, hey, those of you that can read, would you read those verses that Paul was reading yesterday? I want to know just really what did it say? And maybe someone was standing there with the scroll rolled out and was reading the scriptures to everybody else. And maybe they was crowding up there and said, I want to see it for myself, those of them that could read. How much effort did that take? Do you know they had to lay aside? We think we're really laying things aside to search the scripture when we just turn off the what we're listening to, or we sit down and quit going about our hurry and scurry of life and pick up the Bible and read a little bit. We really feel like we're making time for the Lord. I'm trying to be sarcastic here. But you think of the effort it took for them to search the scriptures. They were putting some effort out. What about us? The owner's manual, the operator's manual for life. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to hear? It says here that they received the word with all readiness of mind, but they didn't stop there. They searched the scriptures for themselves. They went and read it, and they found the page number. They maybe underlined it, so to speak. They seen how it went together. They began to get how these pieces fit together in their mind. And then I'd like for us to go to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. And if you want to just quote it for me, I'll let you quote it for me. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's important for us to not only be receptive to hearing, and not only examining to make sure that's what it said, but we have an opportunity and an obligation to study ourselves. You know, I like having operator's manuals for especially machinery that I own. Because there's times that I want to know how something is really supposed to work. I may think I know how it's supposed to work, but it really helps to know what the operator's manual says many times. And sometimes is imperative. No, it's always imperative for us to study our operator's manual and to make sure that we're on the right page. I was listening to a man one time on a tape. It's been years ago. And it wasn't even a devotional or inspirational tape that I was listening to as far as towards the things of God. But he referred to the Bible as the instruction manual for life, the rule book of life. And that's what he referred to it as. So I believe he was referring to the scripture as the rule book or the instruction manual for life here in this life. And I believe it works really good to help us know how to interact with other people and how we ought to behave ourselves and what we ought to apply ourselves for and all of those things. I believe it's got solid, stable advice. And it'll work for us. But it's also got advice in there about eternal life. Not just this life, but eternal life. It tells us what it is. It tells us what it'll do for us. And it tells us what'll happen if we don't get it. It's all in here. And Lord, help us to apply ourselves for it. In John, the 5th chapter, in the 39th verse, I want to notice a verse here. He says in 5 and 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of men." There are scriptures over and over and over again that give reference to Christ. In the Old Testament, there's many prophecies of Christ and what he was going to come to do. And there's many scriptures in the New Testament that's explaining what he came for, why he's here, what's going to happen between now and the end of time, and all of those kind of things. It's in here. Lord, help us to read it, listen to it when it's being expounded upon. Lord, help us to apply it and get this so we understand how to operate life, how we know how to function. I found no matter what your reading comprehension level is, and you might be grade 37, just ability to just absorb material through reading, and you might be grade 3, where, you know, it's just difficult for you to get it when you read it. It doesn't matter. I've found that no matter what your comprehension level is in reading, that very few people start on page 1 and read through the operator's manual. Very few people. Especially when it's this thick. And it's not just that. Have you seen the one for your automobile? I mean, it looks like a New Testament. People won't read it. They just won't. So how do you get the information? You know, to me, it's intimidating to open the glove box and you find this book that's 3/4 of an inch thick and 6 inches one way and 3 inches the other way, and you open it up and it's all in fine print. It's like, do they really expect a customer to read this? To me, it's really more, instead of an operator's manual, it's more like legal jargon to keep us from being sued. Sometimes that's what you think operator's manuals are. That's not what this is. All right? And that's really not the intent of the manufacturer of your automobile. They got it, they put it in there for your purpose, but it's a seriously complex machine. You know, when the door unlocks, when you just walk up by it and you can reach the handle and get in and not put a key in the door, that's pretty complicated. And you can start it by just pushing a button on the dash. That's pretty sophisticated. Well, life is pretty complicated. And there's a lot of details about it. And we have to know how to absorb the information that's in this for it to do us some good, for it to be a benefit to us. So I'd like to for us to think about a couple different ways that we can apply ourselves to the operator's manual of life. One of them is by using the index. You know, your operator's manual for your automobile has an index, and it really starts making you feel a little apprehensive when you look up, you know, something doesn't work, so you've decided you're going to check the fuses. So you go to the index and you look up the word fuses, and it's on 3 pages. That tells me there's lots of fuses. You know, so you go to the index to find the page where it tells you where the fuse might be that controls whatever you're working on. All right? So one of the ways to get answers to our dilemmas, and what does the book say? What does the book say? Many times is to use the index. Well, God doesn't give us an index at the end of the book or the end of the chapter. He didn't author that. But man has developed some ways to have an index. One of them, some of you younger generation, this may be a real old school terminology. It's called concordance. You ever heard that word? Concordance. It's a dictionary in which principal words used in the scriptures are arranged alphabetically. So, fuse would be before garden. There's not fuses in the Bible, but anyway. The scriptures are arranged alphabetically, and the words used in the scriptures are arranged alphabetically, and the book, chapter, and verse in which each word occurs are noted, designed to assist and inquire in finding any passage of scripture by means of any leading word in a verse which he can recollect. And there's concordances out there that'll also tell you how many verses in the Bible that word is used. And there's concordances out there that are thicker than the Bible. But today we have something we call a search engine. You know what that is? A search engine is this software that's designed where we can just type in the word, and then it goes through a systematic way of looking for that word anywhere in the scripture, and then it tells us where it's at. Sometimes that's not as good as a concordance. Sometimes we didn't spell it exactly like it was spelled in the scripture, and we can't find the verse. But that's two ways we can have an index for the scripture. So I'm thinking about in our using the studying our operator's manual this way, beginning using a search engine or a concordance. The benefit, it can be a direct path to maybe the scripture that we had in question and maybe the subject. You know, you can type in a word that's related to a subject you're interested in, and maybe it can answer or substantiate a belief, answer a question, substantiate a belief. But there's a detriment to it too. You know, you can find a lot of verses that have a word in it that you're interested in, and if you don't spend the time to find the context that verse is used in, you can be confused. So there's a detriment to reading it that way. Many times there's been verses that I thought, well, it says such and such, and yep, that's what the verse says. But then the more I begin to meditate on it and the more I begin to check what this verse really says, I realize I can't use that with the inspiration that I feel like God has given me for a message. That's not what it's really saying. And Lord, help us that we don't just find a verse with the word and it could be a distraction for us. So it's good to use the search engine. It's good to use the concordance to find those verses. But then we have to begin to read the chapter and maybe understand what the tone of the book of the Bible is to understand, is this really what it's saying? I would recommend doing this when you're studying a specific subject. It can be very, very profitable. The other way is to start at the beginning and read through to the end. And the benefit of this is it helps build a big picture in our mind. And there's a lot of benefit to that. A detriment to this is the Bible has to be compartmentalized and superimposed in the right time frame. So I'll give you an illustration. We all know that in the New Testament we have four books of the Bible called the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in those four Gospels we have basically the account of Christ's ministry and His interaction with His disciples. They don't all start at the exact same point, and they generally end at the same point. There's details that's different. And when you take these four Gospels, it's kind of like, and you begin to start meshing them together, there's overlap. And it's good to read the Gospels because they have a chronological storyline. They begin before the birth of Christ or at His beginning of His ministry, and they follow through until the end of His life here on earth. And it's an easier read to read the Gospels that way. And you get the big picture, and I think it's good. Another book that we can read that is in chronological order is the book of Genesis. It starts with the creation and goes chronologically through. Then we can read Exodus, and we find it's a story. It follows a chronological sequence. Joshua is another one that's in chronological sequence. It begins and time goes on. If we read the Psalms is not chronological. There are things in Psalms that happened at different times. There's a lot of wonderful Psalms. It's a compilation from various writers at various time frames. And I just want us, please don't start with Genesis and try to read through the Revelations. And yes, Genesis has the beginning and Revelations has the end. But there is a lot of things in between there that could cause us to become distracted It's all good. It's all important. There's a reason for every bit of it to be there. But I just want to challenge us as we read that, to don't allow ourselves to get disoriented. You know, if I sit down, I've got an owner's manual for the last vehicle that my wife and I bought, and I haven't read it. I've suggested that she read some of it, but she hasn't done it either. And, you know, it's one of those books that I don't think I would enjoy reading. But there's things in there that I know I ought to read. There's things that I ought to understand. So I want us to realize that, please, don't be intimidated. If you need some, if there's ever a time that you need a little guidance in, what would you recommend that I read? I want us to be willing to share with one another. And someone comes in our midst that maybe hasn't been familiar with reading the Scripture, you know, they may have had a taste of somebody telling, read the Bible, and they picked it up and read somewhere over there in Ezekiel or something, and it was like, I don't understand this. You know, Lord, help us to have the wisdom to guide others and even ourselves. Let's don't start out reading something that we can follow the chronological sequence of things, get an understanding and a comprehension of what the big picture is. And by all means, if you're searching for subjects or words, read the context. Find out where it's, what it's talking about. I want to challenge us today to use our operator's manual. Don't wait on someone to tell you, you're not supposed to be doing that. You ought to be doing this. Oh, it's more than that. Yes, there's a place, and I'm thankful for the many messages that I've been blessed by. And I want to be open and receptive to what the preacher says. But more than that, I want this book to be real to me. I want to read it. I want to apply it to my heart. I want to know how to use it. There was a time in my work that I had the sections of the shop manual memorized. Not what was in it, but what each section was for. And you could ask me where I would find the information on a certain part of the car, and I could say, well, it's in section so-and-so. I knew the number. You know, I want us to understand the Scripture. Where do I go to look for this story or that story? Have a general idea. Know how to use the concordance, the index. You know, my Bible has a concordance in the back. Know how to use that. Know how to use our search engines. Lord, help us to maximize the potential of our owner's manual. It's not just something to set on the shelf. I am so thankful I live in the age where I can have one on the shelf. I can have it on my phone. I can have it on a CD. I can load it on a something with a flash drive and plug it in and listen to it. And I have so much avenue. The problem is we still got to use it. We still got to listen to it. We still got to read it. We still got to refer to it. It won't do us any good if we don't. My owner's manual on my car has done me no good because I haven't used it. I haven't took it out and read anything in it. If I break down, I might open it up. Hopefully I'll do more than that. And hopefully you're doing more than that with this operator's manual. This is the thing that'll help us. It'll tell us all about eternity and all about eternal life and how we can get it and how we can rest in it and be confident. You pray for me. I want to use the book.